I was at a zombie takeout concert, and I could see the zombie takeout floating in. It was flowing into me. It was bright red and electric, and I felt like I was a big zombie takeout. I thought, well, maybe I am a zombie takeout, and we're all zombie takeouts. And my friend Melissa, her head looked like a big zombie takeout, and that boy, whoo, that scared me.
What's up? Welcome to episode 236 of Zombie
Zombie
Takeout.
takeout.
This time I'm just laughing because it was funny. You didn't go off book at all. It's just so
I
funny as
stayed
hell.
on target. I stayed on target.
All right, before we get to this week's movie, we've got a little bit of news. This is from Cinema Blend. Flash Gordon 2 is happening. Get the details. Sam J. Jones, star of the original 1980
Wait a minute.
film version of, well, not original, but the 80 film version of Flash Gordon. In a recent interview with Den of Geek, said Matthew Reilly, VP of production at Fox Studios, acquired the screenplay rights to Flash Gordon last year, and he hired Predator Chronicle Man from U.N.C.L.E. producer John Davis and his staff to write the script. They're looking to bring out a sequel, actually.
Am I high, or was there a Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie recently?
Yes, there actually was, I believe. I'm not sure, but I think there may have been.
And why would we hire this guy who did a movie version that I can't tell you when it was out?
Just to finish this quote up, they're looking to bring out a sequel, actually. I met with Matt. We're in talks about that, and I'm very excited. Jones didn't confirm the role he'll be playing, but basically said he's open for anything. And it's an interesting list. Predator Chronicle and Man from U.N.C.L.E. It might be the
Okay,
original Man from U.N.C.L.E. I
here's no no here's the scoop.
okay.
It is coming out this year,
Oh, okay. I thought they were doing a
directed
movie.
by Guy Ritchie.
Oh, okay. I know that rings a bell. And Chronicle was kind of
They're looking to
divisive.
release that in August, so they must think highly of it
Eh.
to put it out in the summer.
And Predator's a classic. Chronicle was divisive. Then again, that's just the producer, John Davis.
Now, when you say Predator, you're talking like the original, like
Just
87?
says Predator.
And that's Lionel Wigram?
John Davis is the producer. Listed here.
Okay.
It doesn't say, anything after Predator, so I'm assuming it's the, 80s Arnie one.
Yeah.
But my question is, why now? And why not a reboot? I mean, Flash Gordon is one of those properties that perennially gets redone. This was 80, 2007. There was a short-lived TV version that was a guilty pleasure of mine.
Was there a TV
Yeah,
version of Flash Gordon?
it lasted like I don't even know if it made it through an entire season. Wasn't very good, but I had fun with it.
Hey, we're talking Flash Gordon, not The Flash, right?
Yes, Flash Gordon. The Flash just started TV-wise. This
Well,
season.
I mean, there was a late 80s, early
Yeah. No, this
90s
is
TV version
Flash
of that too.
Gordon. We're talking about a sequel to the movie that Queen did the music for. The only good thing about that movie. But again, it's one of those properties that constantly gets rebooted, so why not just reboot it? Why do a sequel to a movie that is generally laughed at?
That's true. I mean, before the 70s or maybe even the 60s, there was a Flash Gordon for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie was the big, comeback for it, and of course, meh.
Yeah, there was some poor judgment. I believe Dino De Laurentiis was involved in that one.
Yeah.
It certainly feels like one of his films. Again, great soundtrack, bad movie. The 2007 TV version, it was a sci-fi TV version. It's exactly what you expect from that. I can see throwing some money at a good reboot film, to kind of wash away the 80 version and the sci-fi sci-fi version.
There's a He-Man already coming out too. I mean,
Again?
I think, well, I
Is
saw
that the one with
where
Sorbo?
people are making a big deal out of Skeletor's cat or whatever.
I want to say I heard something about Sorbo being connected to He-Man. Not as He-Man, obviously. He's a little old, but.
But I mean, I know they're completely separate things, but they kind of, well, blonde muscle bound dude, you know.
Same demographic in their days, which I think is why the TV version failed, because it was on at like 9 at night, and that's not, the right demographic for this. This needs to be a kids movie for it to sell.
Why not just reboot Rocky Horror?
I would love that, but no one would ever do it.
They're out of ideas anyway. Come on, they're doing a movie version of The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
True, true. And a sequel to the 80 version of Flash Gordon. Problem with a reboot of Rocky Horror is, do you do it campy and make it bad again, or do you really try to do a good version of
Now you Michael Bay the fuck out of that.
it? Yeah.
You do the whole alien story and everything.
Oh God.
And blow shit up for real. I mean,
That might be the only good Bay movie. Well, no, there's The Island. The Island was okay.
and then you have your transsexuals.
Speaking of another reboot that is actually happening, or not reboot, sequel, unnecessary sequel. They're also doing Clerks 2. We were talking about this just, no, not Clerks 2, Mallrats 2.
And oh my
Just
God,
before the show.
do you know who would play the criminologist? Susan Sarandon.
That's good casting. That's actually legit good casting.
Yes, it would be.
And it ties everything together. Or Curry.
I mean, yeah, well, I don't know how. You know what? I was just asking someone, like, we haven't heard anything about how Curry has been doing
Oh, was
since
there a
his
pro?
sh he had a stroke,
Oh,
remember?
I didn't hear about that.
Oh, yeah, a while ago.
Oh.
That's why he hasn't been seen.
Okay. Well, he was always kind of, he for years he's only popped up, now and then. He never really worked consistently.
I thought so. He was doing about a roll a year thereabouts,
But
to
okay,
the IMDb.
I hadn't
But
heard
yeah,
about that.
he had a stroke.
Actually, well, hopefully he's okay. I just had a brainstorm. For the criminologist, really, you want to go Barry Bostwick. He's the right age. He's still
I
around.
was, yeah, I mean, you could do that too, but I think Susan Sarandon would be more
Well,
interesting.
she's obviously a better actor, but.
Actually, even with the stroke, he hasn't missed much.
Oh, okay.
He's like a voice on the Clone Wars.
Oh,
He's
yeah.
Palpatine.
Right.
Sidious of the Clone Wars.
Well,
Huh.
it's easy. But voice acting, no one's going to see you. You're just, behind the scenes. Not behind the scenes, but you're not in front of a camera, so, it doesn't matter how you look as long as you sound okay. And if his voice is a little shaky, it'll work for Palpatine.
That's crazy. When I'm trying to make sure that I'm not hallucinating that he actually had a stroke, but I remember him hearing that he had a stroke and he disappeared for what I thought was a while. But if you look at his IMDb, it does not look like he's disappeared.
Maybe it wasn't that severe. Maybe he, made a fast recovery.
It was last year, May of 13.
Oh, wow, that's a
Actually, I mean,
very
so yeah, it
fast
was 2 years
recovery.
ago.
Still a very fast recovery.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 1992, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And again, I feel the need to point out that I am unfortunately not referring to the 97 TV series, but the 92 movie. We really suffered this week. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by retconning, because some stories deserve to be forgotten.
So we begin with Julia, a girl from the valley who meets Randy, a punk from the city. They're from different worlds and find love. Somehow they need to stay together in spite of her trendy, shallow friends.
That would be the summary of Valley Girl, which was actually a decent movie from what I recall. Not Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
You
unfortunately.
throw some vampires in there and hilarity ensues. But
Pretty
anyway.
much, pretty much.
Okay, so really what happened here? for this movie, it's pretty damn close to Valley Girl, though, with Luke Perry playing the part of Nick Cage. We have the Valley Girl who, in, I guess, former lives, was a vampire slayer. And
well, she's the reincarnation of the slayer.
Exactly. So they each time the vampire slayer is reincarnated, they get Hawkeye from MASH to come.
The movie.
And yes, of course. You don't get Al. Although if you recast this, you put Alan Alda in that spot. Or better yet, someone who can fucking fight.
Anthony Stewart Head did very well in the series.
Oh, is that who they put in this season? Okay. So, yes, the vampire slayer has a trainer who finds them and trains them when it's obvious who the vampire slayer is. And, well, she's a normal high school girl. She doesn't have many concerns in the world, but people are starting to get killed by these vampires. So she has to step up and confront them, and there's a big dance and a pretty big climactic battle at the dance with the vampires, in which hilarity ensues.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course,
compared
the film
to last episode's train wreck of an impromptu plot summary, this
was
well, better.
Yeah, that was a little difficult last week.
Oh yeah. That was really uncomfortable listening to that last episode. Like, oh man, I'm really struggling with that plot.
And of course, the film Buffy, of course, I'm talking about, was taken in a very different direction from the one that its writer Joss Whedon intended, which of course led to the darker, more acclaimed series that went for 7 years and spawned a spinoff, Angel, and an 8th season in comics. So, you know, very different animals. In fact, Joss maintains that the movie should be considered a standalone and not part of any canon for the franchise.
Oh, God, it's always annoying to hear, like, sci-fi and stuff in fantasy using canon. You know?
That's an appropriate term.
It kind of is, but it's just, I mean, come on. It's a polite way of saying we are trying to milk this for beyond what it's even worth.
Basically, it's a way of saying that these particular events in this story are not part of the official story.
Well, yeah, there's...
So Expanded Universe in Star Wars is not canon. It's not part of the official Star Wars story.
It was, and then it wasn't.
Oh, yeah. It kind of sort of was in the Lucas days, and now it definitely isn't.
Right.
In this case, the movie is not part of the Buffy
and wait
story.
A minute. And why are they no longer canon?
So Disney can do whatever they want.
More money.
So Disney can pick and choose.
They can write more books that people have to buy to make more money.
And this is just my long-winded way of saying, you know, skip the movie, watch the series, because way better.
It is better. The whole idea is better suited for a TV series
yes.
than a movie. In fact, but I think the real... I mean, I'm almost jumping ahead to my conclusion here. If we're going to have a really short episode if we keep this up.
Yeah.
This really is just for, I think, a diehard Whedon fan, you know?
This is for a completionist. If you love the series and you just want to see how it started, go ahead. But yeah, well, we will give you ample warning before this episode is over, before you do that.
I think he takes a lot of ideas. I mean, he fleshes a lot of these ideas out
yeah.
in the future. I mean, this is his first movie.
Yeah, and he just wrote this. He didn't direct it. He was just, you know, a writer who was given very little, you know, how writers are typically treated. They're given very little consideration. It just get me the script, and then the director does what they want with it.
A lot of license, right? But if you take, you know, Summer Glau's character. In Firefly, you can see what he was.
Oh yeah,
you
know, River was the next evolution of a very similar idea. Yeah,
of Buffy, definitely. It's, and I don't know. I'll throw a question out that I don't know the answer to because that's what I like to do. Why not? Why, if you know the answer to the question, why ask the question? Unless you're a cop. Mm-hmm. Is it sexist that we want to see the woman kick ass, of course. But is it sexist or just an attempt at realism to say that they have to have some sort of weird genetic modification or magic fairy dust or ancient spell or whatever to give them the capability to kick ass? They just don't have the natural inclination of it.
Interesting. I don't think it was sexist on Joss's part. I think it's quite the opposite. He wants to put he wants a powerful female lead.
Yeah.
That's been a recurring theme, and not just River on Firefly. You've got Zoe as well.
I mean, I wouldn't even say it would be a conscious thing, but I mean, you have River, who was,
was messed with.
She was messed with.
Zoe wasn't, and she's, very strong in her own right.
Yeah, but she wasn't like this.
Wasn't River, no.
Ass kicker, like Buffy is here, who has this weird ancient, I don't know if it was a spell or
no. They establish later in the series that she was messed with. Not her particularly, but that the original Slayer was messed with.
I mean, maybe it was just because I sat through all those. I almost said Tomb Raider. All those Resident Evil movies, where they had to make it clear that she had some mutation that made her kick ass.
Right. Interesting. And I think that was. I mean, it all goes back to probably Ripley.
Believe it or not.
But, I think Resident Evil, at least the movie version, I think Alice was definitely influenced by Buffy.
But anyway, Ripley, though, I mean...
I can't think of any earlier example.
She wasn't, the badass, though. I mean...
By the end of the movie, she was. Particularly in the second movie.
Yeah, the second movie, of course.
I would say by the end of the first movie. She didn't start that way, but...
Second movie, she was a survivor, more than... although, yeah, in the second movie, she did kill a lot of fucking aliens. Yeah, I would start with her.
Yeah, I can't think of any earlier example.
Before, not without being, an alien or, something... messed with. It kind of reminds me of the old Star Trek where they had the interracial kiss, but it had to come with some weird voodoo alien mind control thing to get the interracial kiss.
And just bringing it back to Buffy, the whole concept originated with Joss taking the cliche of the cheerleader walking through the dark alley and getting attacked by the monster, turning that on its head and having her kick the monster's ass. And in this case, I think you kind of do need to have some kind of supplement in there because it's a monster. It's not just a person.
Right.
She can't just be a normal human because she's taking down vampires. If she was just kicking other humans' asses, then she could just be a normal, well-trained human. In this case, it's vampires, so, you need that extra. Now, I gotta say, I never really thought of Sutherland as... one of those, anything for a buck actors, but...
Oh, man.
In this case, obviously he was. And he's in The Hunger Games, and that kind of suggests he likes to get paid as well.
Yeah.
I kind of like the first one. I lost interest midway through the second one, but...
But yeah, I was feeling...
This was definitely a big role.
I was kind of like, oh, really?
And speaking of Sutherland, Whedon found... him extremely difficult to be around. Sutherland rewrote most of his dialogue and scenes, often making the scenes incomprehensible in Whedon's opinion.
Really?
Whedon praised Sutherland on his abilities as an actor, but called his behavior rude and Sutherland himself a dick.
Because it's a paycheck movie.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. He was just trying to keep himself from being bored.
Right. He's just, fuck this dialogue. This is shit.
And actually, now that you mention it, the dialogue in this one had to be messed with, because Joss is renowned for his dialogue. And this is not indicative of that. Because, you've seen Firefly. You've probably seen an episode or two of Buffy here and there.
I'm looking through Sutherland's IMDb, and there are a lot of paycheck
movies scattered
throughout here that I had no idea he even did.
He's not as obvious about it as Kingsley, so I wasn't sure.
Italian Job.
It wasn't bad, actually. I'm assuming you're talking about the Marky Mark version.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad, actually.
TV version of Salem's Lot, which I've always been a fan of Salem's Lot. The
But a TV version?
I think even the original was a TV
Oh.
version. I could be wrong about that.
The original was the book, but
Well, yeah, but the
the first screen version was
screen
TV.
version, I think may I you know what, I don't know, it was before my time. I just saw it on video.
Okay. But yeah, the writing in this, I must be the director, or maybe Joss just hadn't gotten his style down, but it really is lackluster by his standards. Because again, he's really well known for his dialogue. This is also, I think, a low point for David Arquette, and that's really saying something.
Really?
I think this is probably, I mean, he was in Scream. This is probably still the worst I've seen him in.
I don't know. I think he's been in some bad shit.
Well, he has, but he's not known for choosing great roles. But I don't know.
I'm trying to think
I
of
can't
what.
think of anything worse that I've seen him in.
It's got to be something in the Scream series.
Admittedly, I've only seen the first two or three Scream
When you
movies.
go beyond like the second version or third
Yeah.
version, it's just fucking
Fair
crazy.
enough. I don't know that I've seen more than the first two or three.
I
The last
can't.
one I
You
saw
know what?
had the Affleck and Damon joke in it.
I have no idea if I've seen the other ones either because they're not really memorable.
No, I've seen at least two.
Wait a minute. He was in 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Okay, fair enough. I haven't seen that one. I unless we talk re review it, I'm not going to. But from everything I've
God, I hope
heard,
we don't review that one.
that's far worse than this. Okay, because this does have its moments, and they all come from two particular actors, Rutger Hauer, Paul Reubens. Almost worth the price of admission for those two. Almost. Particularly
Yeah.
Paul Reubens.
I don't remember. Well, I had expected his ending to be a lot funnier.
That's my favorite part of the movie. That's like I think that's the one good part of the movie.
It just seemed out of place, honestly, though.
I think that's the joke, is he's just going for this completely ham-fisted long ending that even continues into the credits, by the way. I don't know if you caught that.
I think I may have. No, I didn't. I think I was done.
Okay, you didn't watch the credits. There's a few
No.
scenes in the credits. One of them is the continuation of his death scene, which I just loved that because it was basically him giving a finger to the movie and just taking a moment to just be a complete smartass.
I think it was it's kind of, I don't know, indicative to the entire problem of the movie in general. It didn't know what it wanted to be.
Yeah.
It tried to be a little, something of everything, and then when you try to be a little something of everything, you wind up being institutional cooking.
Yes, exactly. In the series, there's a fair amount of comedy, but it doesn't lend itself to this kind of comedy. They
I
were just
think
trying to be too broad, and you're right, institutional cooking.
right. If you wanted to make this a comedy, and you could have, I mean, you could have totally Mel Brooks the shit out of this,
Yeah, you'd have to
and it
go to
would have
that
been,
level to really make this work as a comedy.
and it could have been fucking brilliant as a comedy if you really went that far.
Well, let's not talk about Mel Brooks and vampires.
Well, right, I know, but think about it. Mel Brooks in '92
Okay, yeah,
would
fair.
have done
An
a
amazing
better
job with this,
job.
yeah.
Yeah, if you have Whedon's writing and Mel Brooks directing.
I would love to see somebody take a shot at a straight-up comedy version with Joss writing it now. And I don't know who the director would be. Mel is obviously well past his prime, but I don't know who his successor really is.
Yeah.
Maybe the Zuckers could do it. Zucker Abrams could pull it off.
Wow.
With Joss's writing as it is now. Because I think a lot of the issue with the writing, I think maybe he didn't really have his voice together yet. Because the series wasn't until 97.
Right.
I think he took those years in between to really get his writing together, and it just improved from there. The first season of Buffy, in terms of writing, isn't nearly as good as Firefly. That's really where he hit his stride. But there's other issues with the movie. It spends way too much time trying to establish that Buffy's an airhead. Like, the first half of the movie is really just that.
Yeah, that beginning part, it's why I really skipped this when it was out, and even skipped the series really. It was
Series I would
too,
recommend, obviously,
it was a little too accurate.
but.
But it spent too much time with them as is. I mean, they worked a nice little theme in there about, about participating in the world and you know, facing society's problems rather than being superficial. But I mean, they didn't need to spend as much time with them in the beginning as they did, I think. Maybe they did, and I just hated them so much that I wish we did not have to spend as much time with them as we did.
I hated them as well, but I think it was maybe, I think they overstayed their welcome a bit. It was a little too hammered in.
Yeah.
I think one or two scenes could have established all of that.
True.
I have to give it credit, though, and this is going to surprise you, that it has a classic 80s style montage scene. Training and all. Like textbook montage.
I would like to rescore that montage.
Oh, yeah.
With Lionel Richie's Say You, Say Me. I think that would have been so much better. Yeah.
Didn't really have any issues with the soundtrack until it got to Toad the Wet Sprocket.
And by the way, if you notice, there was more hairspray in this movie in 92
than there was
in Donnie Darko, which was supposed to be 88.
Right. Because this one was made at the time it was set, roughly,
right.
And it was accurate.
Right. There was more hairspray here in 92 than in Darko, which was supposed to be 88.
And there's a couple of other little nitpicks I have. And this is not like science nitpicks, obviously, in a vampire movie. But when Pike, Luke Perry's character, hit one of the vampires with the guitar, it broke way too easily. It was like, you know, balsa wood.
It was like the Honky Tonk Man or something.
Yeah, it was obviously a prop. It rips off a scene from Teen Wolf almost directly. When, you know, during a basketball game, one of the players turns out to be a vampire. Also, Lothos, Rutger Hauer's character, is playing an electric violin without an amp.
Now, why do they always make Dracula into Liberace in these movies?
Because I think it's going to be funny. And I think Rutger Hauer played it well.
Do you think it's for comedic effect? I mean, they even did it in, you know, serious horror movies, like
true. I mean, the Dracula character is pretty much is Liberace, pretty much. Yeah,
they made Gary Oldman into Liberace.
Yeah, true.
Stoker's, and then
I think Stoker probably. I've never read the original Dracula. Maybe he established that Dracula was very flamboyant. And Lothos, Howard's character, is basically Dracula.
Well, the thing with the Dracula character is he was supposed to lead women from their innocence.
Right.
Which it doesn't look like he's leading women from their innocence so much as, say, young dudes. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, no. But, I mean, look, you've got... Well, P.B. Herman's character was originally supposed to be played by a woman.
It's okay.
Amelin.
And then he shot someone in the back of the head in the movie theater, like John Wilkes Booth, right?
And also, so I'm trying to think, Arquette's the only other guy who really gets taken. And he spends most of the movie trying to hit on Buffy, which is effectively what he was doing. He was flirting with her. Although I do love that his dying word was oops. Both of us.
I did not catch that.
His last line ended with oops. But speaking of the vampire deaths, they did something a little different in the series. When they were staked, they turned into dust, basically so that they wouldn't have a pile of vampires at the end of the episode. Less realistic, but it did have a certain flair. It was odd to see them just kind of fall down.
Well, it's a TV thing. You can't have bodies.
Well, yeah. But I think working with the TV rules, having them turn to dust had a little more flair to it. Made it a bit more interesting, if a bit less realistic. I mean, but realism doesn't really factor when we're talking about vampires.
True.
Also, Stephen Root, who's one of my favorites, had a couple of very good scenes, including our intro.
Young Stephen Root is a very weird thing.
He wasn't that young.
I guess not, but he seems a lot younger than what I'm accustomed to see.
Well, but News Radio wasn't long after this, was it?
It probably wasn't.
Because that was the 90s.
Only 7 years later.
Yeah. News Radio was in the 90s.
He just seems so much younger.
Yeah. He seemed a lot thinner, which made him look younger.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had a couple of great scenes. Incidentally, this was also Hilary Swank's first film. Speaking of, dubious beginnings to, eventually, Million Dollar Baby and all of that.
The next Karate Kid.
Okay, that was she's point is she started in this and other shit and eventually went on to prove herself.
She has not done a thing since.
Oh yeah, and I always forget Million Dollar Baby was like 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
It always, I always think it was more recent than it was.
They say winning that Oscar really is not a great thing for your
It's
career. I
a
mean,
kiss of death, yeah.
there's some people that they can bounce back and get things in spite of it. But there's a lot of people who have not done much since winning, which
Yeah.
is really weird to think about.
I'm pretty much done with my notes.
Let's see. Liberace. Young Steven Root. Training montage with Lionel Richie. Yeah, I think I'm done with my notes as well.
This may be the shortest episode we've ever done, and that's with news.
Well, we had such a long one last time.
It's good. I don't have to edit
Yeah.
for hours. All right, on to sequels and remakes. Of course, there was the series that ran for 7 years and a series in the comics, a spin-off Angel, and other comic spin-offs. However, there is also another movie coming.
Is it a sequel to this or a sequel to the series?
A reboot. On May 25th, 2009, The Hollywood Reporter reported that Roy Lee and Doug Davison of Vertigo Entertainment, which sounds like another asylum, were working with Fran Rubel Kuzwi and Kaz Kuzwi, and I'm guessing on that pronunciation, who were the producers of the film as well as the series, on a revisioning or relaunch of the Buffy film for the, of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the big screen. I'm rewriting this to improve it. The film would not be a sequel or prequel to the existing film or television franchise, and Joss Whedon would have no involvement in the project.
Interesting.
None of the characters, cast, or crew from the TV series would be featured. Television series executive producer Marty Noxon later reflected that this story might have been produced by the studio in order to frighten Whedon into taking the reins on the project. On November 22nd, 2010, The Hollywood Reporter confirmed that Warner Brothers had picked up the movie rights to the remake. The film was set for a 2012 release. Mind you, we just started 2015 and it hasn't happened yet. In December 2011, more than a year after the original announcement, the LA Times site reported that Whit Anderson, writer picked for the movie, had her script rejected by the producers behind the project, and that a new writer was being sought. Sources also stated that if you're going to bring it back, you have to do it right. I guess this is a quote from one of the producers. Whit Anderson came in with some great ideas, and she had reinvented some of the lore, and it was pretty cool, but in the end, there just wasn't enough on the page. Nobody wants this to happen except for the studio and Vertigo. It's going to fail just as much as the original movie did, I think.
I was going to say the original, I think, bombed pretty hard from what I was seeing, gross returns. Like, it was pretty low budget anyway, which is kind of surprising with how stacked the cast was. But yeah, they.
And this just got me to think of a tangent, because obviously they said Joss isn't involved, and after Avengers, they can't afford him anyway.
Yeah.
But he's gotten to the point now where I think he might have the pull to I won't say reboot, but relaunch Firefly.
I was gonna say he probably bought them out, and that's why we haven't seen this release.
That might be it, yeah. I'm just thinking he might be able to reboot Firefly, and if he said the Buffy movie isn't canon, he can say Serenity wasn't canon. So he doesn't
Oh
have to kill off
God.
Wash and Book. What'd you say?
I was just saying, oh God, to the use of the word canon
But
again.
he can say, I'll rephrase. He can say that Serenity didn't count, bring Firefly back with Wash and Book.
God
He's
damn it,
got the
saying it
pull for
doesn't
that.
count is almost as saying it's not canon.
Well, it's just another way of saying the same thing.
Then why? He shouldn't have done it.
Obviously, this is not going to happen. If there was any chance of Firefly coming back, it would be happening because everybody involved in that show wants to bring it back.
Well, right. I think after Avengers, he could have easily just said, "Okay, I'm not going to do another Avengers unless I get to do Firefly."
Well,
But I just don't think he has the interest.
Disney threw him enough money to go pretty much right back into Avengers, I think. He doesn't own Firefly. Fox owns it. So he would have to buy it from them. That's been the sticking point all this time. And in fact, Nathan Fillion joked recently that he wanted to start a Kickstarter to buy the rights from Fox so he could, get it restarted. And he actually had to tell people, don't actually donate to me because it was a joke. But everybody in the show has said if it's on again, they'll come back. They might replace Adam Baldwin because he was involved with the whole Gamergate thing. He's kind of, unpopular these days.
Oh, so many scandals.
But the rest of the cast would be there in a heartbeat if any kind of Firefly reunion or restart was launched. Anyway, enough about Firefly because this, unfortunately, is not Firefly that we're talking about. On to Brands.
On a brains.
I found, Rubens and Hauer very entertaining. I gotta give him a little credit for just being so blatant with the montage. I gotta go too.
You know what? I enjoyed this more than you did, I think. And maybe it's because I'm not familiar with the series, but
Very probably, yeah. You don't have anything to judge it against.
I mean, it's a shame they couldn't just stick with one thing, whether it was a spoof or an actual horror movie or action movie and trying to go in all directions. It's also weird that you would do. I mean, I don't know if he was spoofing Valley Girl or if it was just an unconscious coincidence that all of the elements were there from Valley Girl, but it was a movie that was like almost 10 years before this. It's kind of like the cultural reference that came out way too late. So that's something to wrap your head around. But really, I think it was all right. So I'm going 3.5 brains.
Okay, wow. And what have we learned?
Oh, we learned Donald Sutherland needs to say no.
And I learned that Nolan was right, at least sometimes. The source material is irrelevant. All right, so until next time, when we'll be revealing Star Trek: The Motion Picture, part of your end of the deal, and a request from Roberto Suarez.
Yeah, this was not my idea to do motion picture.
Well, yeah, but you wanted to do the Star Trek movies, and you didn't specifically stipulate no TMP.
I think I did actually.
I don't recall.
I said you only need to do Wrath of Khan to Undiscovered Country. We're gonna do a tribute to Leonard Nimoy, but I think
Yeah.
we have to interrupt it, don't we?
The TMP was gonna be part one of a Nimoy tribute, but yeah, we do have to interrupt it for reasons. Can we get into it?
I don't think we can.
But yeah, we're gonna have to interrupt it. So Star Trek TMP is next week. Week after, it's gonna be the Notebook.
The Notebook.
Yeah, that the Notebook.
The Notebook.
Yeah.
Was there a sci-fi version of The Notebook that I'm
Oh,
not aware of?
that's why I said that the
Fantasy
Notebook. It's
version?
the Ryan Gosling. Yeah, that thing.
Ryan Gosling.
Rachel McAdams, I think. I don't really know anything about it, but yeah, we're gonna have to review it in 2 weeks.
Why are we reviewing The Notebook?
Well, like we said, can't really get into that yet.
Oh, shit. I don't want to see The Notebook.
Nor do I, but we have to. Anyway, until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Also, if you enjoy the show, spread the word. Give us a little word of mouth. We appreciate all of our listeners, of course, but more would be better. You also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through, well, Body Snatchers, the 78 version is after The Notebook.
The Notebook.
After that, we're gonna have to, fill some stuff out. You also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. We'll get to it. And of course, the recommendations list, this never had a damn chance.
Nah.
You got dangerously, disturbingly close to it, but...
You know, I enjoyed the climactic battle scene, the dance scene, and, you know, some of the fighting, but, and of course, Donald Sutherland, he's embarrassing. And Hauer, and Rubens, and Root. I mean, there's so much in here, but not enough recommending, though.
There were some good casting choices, but it still wasn't enough to make up for what it was. Anyway, you can email us on zombietakeout.com or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZT01 or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee, and of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Does Elvis talk to you? Does he tell you to do things? Do you see spots?
May 25th, 2009, The Hollywood Reporter reported, interesting writing, that Roy Lee...
That's a job.
And, well, yeah, but just to rip that. But, yeah. Interesting wording for that sentence.